And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering all of North Alabama. Making it cool to be a conservative. Well, coming up now to join me in this discussion I'm having right now, number two in the triple dipper, March to the midterms. That's where we are. Post-Labor Day, this is when things really get down to the nitty-gritty. My friend Jeff Poor, he's the executive editor at 1819 News. He also hosts his own show at FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast. And he's on the air right now with us. Jeff Poor, how you doing today, bud?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. Now, I was telling him earlier that you are like some kind of political savant, and I wanted to get your opinions on on where we're headed. not like Rain Man savant. I mean, like a knowledgeable savant. Listen. So right off the bat, let me just ask you this: still the talk, House and Senate. Do Republicans flip both? Flip one? What's your thought?
I'm really worried. Well, I think the House is a foregone conclusion. I don't see how Democrats can hold on to it. But I tell you what, I think with the Senate it's a little more difficult. Pennsylvania is tough.
Yeah.
I think Ron Johnson could pull it out, Wisconsin. But if you believe the polls, that one's up in the air. And then obviously Georgia. But you just need one of the. I mean, you need two of those three. Pennsylvania is a big one. Everything else is kind of a wash, but Ron Johnson holding on seems to be in question. But there's definitely a trend going on here. Whatever you think of the polls, if they're accurate or not, is up in the air. They get things wrong a lot of times, Senator. But I tell you what, I don't like the trend for Republicans. I am bothered by the kind of southward trend a little bit, because with these polls, whatever the bottom line number is may not matter as much. As kind of they use the same if they're using the same recipe every time, and they're getting fewer and fewer Republican responses, ought to be something that's a little bit concerning.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I told my audience a little while ago that I take polls with a grain of salt, and I also take the media reports with a grain of salt, but I can't just ignore them. And I think I think it's accurate to say that Biden has gotten a little bit of a bump because he's had. And they're left victories. We don't like them, but they're leftward victories. So maybe galvanize his base a little bit. He's gone from something like a 36% approval rating to 41 is one report. But USA Today says there's 7 midterm U.S. Senate races around the nation that are what they call coin flips. All we need is just to we need to gather up just one extra than what we got right now, and it changes the dynamic.
Well, and I tell you, you talk about Biden's getting some victories, but what we better watch out for. Now, this is Labor Day is when they switch to blends of gasoline, right?
Right.
And you go to that winter blend, it's a lot less expensive than that summer blend. That's important. That's very important. I think gas prices are going to get a little relief, and I think that's going to help Biden a little bit. Well, does it matter to Congress? I don't know. Is it, you know, if people start seeing some progress being made on these big ticket questions, does that start to kind of favor Democrats a little bit? But another thing that really bothers me, Senator, I am very underwhelmed by the Republican message, particularly from Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell downplayed expectations as he had. I think that sends the wrong message to voters. I think it sends the wrong message to donors. And I don't understand why on earth he would come out to try to do that.
No, I totally agree. In fact, I did a whole segment on my show at one point recently in which I talked about the lack of a plan. Like, there's no agenda. There's nothing. There's no marching orders. It's just basically like, well, you know, hope we get some good candidates. We'll see what we can do. And I'm thinking that is no way to rally the troops. But let me ask you this. You used the word messaging a minute ago, and I was just before you came on, I was saying that it's interesting to watch the messaging. I saw one article that said that the RNC's message is based on security, and that's economic security, physical security, crime security. But then the Democrats are running largely on green energy and abortion. Do you see abortion being a real driving force for them? I mean, I have a hard time believing that they can really make hay with that nationwide. What do you think?
I'm afraid that they are. I mean, now this is all kind of like, you know, mainstream media speculation here, but we're seeing in some of these swing states, and I don't think you could dismiss this, a spike in suburban females registering to vote. Why is that? Maybe they side on Dobbs, or maybe they don't. Whatever the phenomenon is, there's something going on with, I think, the Dobbs decision that is causing that. And it, depending on where you are, especially the suburbs of like a Philadelphia or suburbs of Cincinnati, I mean, do we think those are right wingers? I'm very hesitant to say that. There's something going on there that Republicans need to be aware of. They need to drive home their narrative, the radical positions of the left on abortion. They need to. I hate to say it, but guys, we gotta figure out how to get away from, wrestle the attention away from Trump and Mar-a-Lago, I think, for just a little while, and get back to what brought us to the dance. That is obviously what's going on with the Dobbs decision, and then I think the economy, that stuff is what's going to get more and more people engaged, and not just, I mean, not downplaying it, not saying it's unimportant. But I think if we're trying to win an election, we need to keep that in mind.
I think there's also, and those are good points, and I think there's also a question of, you know, right now as Republicans look around the nation and they look for a leader, they look, I mean, right now one of the reasons why Trump still has attention is because they know that he'll say whatever it is that needs to be said. And a lot of times he, for all of his warts and blemishes, he'll speak what the average Joe and Jane is looking to have somebody speak. But up in D.C., when it comes to leadership, I don't think there's any great enthusiasm for saying, man, if we can get the majority back, Kevin McCarthy can be the House Speaker. And oh, man, we'll get Mitch McConnell back as, you know, majority leader. And I don't see the nation going, yeah, that's what we want. I mean, that leadership seems to be very lackluster, at least in the eyes of the base. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no ideas guy. Who's the ideas guy at the Republican Party right now?
Yeah, there's no Newt Gingrich. I mean,
yeah, who's the Newt Gingrich? Or, you know, you look back at the past. Who's the, I hate to say, Paul Ryan at the time was the ideas guy, right? They had these ideas. They were going to roll them back to the entitlement state. They were going to, do things constitutionally with term limits. Who is the ideas guy in the Republican Party right now?
I don't know. And that's just, I guess, or DeSantis, but he's running for his own, you know, seat as governor of Florida.
I don't. Well, who is the ideas guy in Congress right now?
I could not name one, except maybe the Freedom Caucus folks who step up and say, do it this way, but they're a small caucus. I mean, they're not likely to be in. Of course, Jim Jordan is pretty solid, and he will have a position of leadership, but I'm not sure who the out front, follow me, boys, here's let's take the high ground. I'm not sure who it is.
I mean, you know, the policy committee guy. You know who the policy committee chairman is? He's Gary Palmer. I mean,
that's,
I don't
true.
Want, you know, but he's not exactly. I love Gary Palmer, and I think he's a brilliant guy. But he's not exactly one that you know, gives rousing oratory, right, or whatever. But I just, you look around that chamber. I think Jim Jordan is a good example. And maybe some of these guys that are lining up to be committee chairman. I don't know. I just. You don't have that national figure, though, do you? Kevin McCarthy is a good placeholder kind of leader, and he gets the job done. He raises a ton of money, but he plays ball with the Freedom Caucus more than John Boehner ever did, or DeLay, or any of
those
guys, right?
Yeah,
that's where he is useful.
That is true. He will engage the Freedom Caucus. He will hear the base. I don't know that he galvanizes the broader spectrum towards that mission all the time, but he at least engages. You're right. So let me ask you this. I'm going to flip the script here just a little bit. I just saw you tweeted out in the last couple hours. John Hammontree at AL.com had this string on Twitter. I'm looking at it again right now, where basically he's just like lambasting the members of the U.S. delegation for Alabama and Katie Britt, who's going to wind up being the next U.S. senator. And they're election deniers. They're going to win their election no matter what, and they're still perpetrating the great lie. And you pointed out, is it not possible to be reasonable and skeptical at the same time about the fact that there were some weird things that happened in 2020? But let me ask you this. I saw one article that said that pessimism about the election processes might drive down voter turnout. What do you think? Is that going to be an issue with people saying, well, I don't even want to vote. I can't trust it. What do you think?
You hear that from time to time. I think, at least as far as Alabama goes, I will say general election turnout will be high, much higher, exponentially higher than the primary or the runoff. I just we're in that kind of culture, Senator, where the state level stuff is hard, difficult, the local. But gosh, we watch Fox News every night. We try to be good citizens and be engaged. And I don't think it's necessarily a case of my vote doesn't count, the elections are rigged anyway. Sure, you can have a little bit of that, but I don't think that is a widespread phenomenon. I think there's way more people irate about the direction of the country and the Biden economy than what had happened in 2020. But to your point about AL.com, I am sick and tired of these people that apply this conventional wisdom to everything that they hear on MSNBC. Like it is fact that you cannot possibly be skeptical of the election and not have some kind of nefarious purpose. I mean, you could be reasonable about what had happened in Pennsylvania or wherever, but this is why AL.com and others like them fail.
I totally agree. And why they're losing subscribers on a daily basis. I guess we're just almost doing a commercial here, but why 1819 News has become a resource, because people want to see balls and strikes. They don't want to see that kind of subjectiveness thrown into their storylines. All right. Listen, before we wind up our time, I got to ask you, man, because you and I have not had a chance to really talk about it. At 1819, y'all just ran my piece in yesterday's run, my op-ed on the Biden speech from last week. All right, the big red speech, I guess I could call it. What your thoughts? Did that drive things at all? Does that motivate people on the right wing to go, oh God, we got to vote? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think it motivated people. Well, here's what's instructive about it. Here's the takeaway. The people that they all got in a room together to come up with this idea, yeah. All of these like has been presidential historian types, John Meacham, Douglas Brinkley, Michael Beschloss, all these guys, and they put them in a room together. Let's make a speech. And this is what these pointy headed academic ivory tower types come with. And this is what they got. And did this work for them? Did this sway the midterms? Was this no? It was terrible. It was bad optics. This is what you get when you get people sitting down and thinking they got something that works on paper and it's supposed to work on paper, but they are just too blind to see the forest or the trees. They just think that things don't have human elements. Is Biden going to be able to execute this? What is it going to look like with two armed Marines standing behind? It looked like a ripoff of a Star Wars scene or something.
Yes, and I was waiting for the Emperor. What's his name?
Palpatine is going to dissolve the Galactic Senate or something at any moment now. And it just like you guys, this is amateur hour stuff. And this is what you need to know, guys. When you see the commentary and the talking heads, the people that are telling you that you know that Trump is bad and Republicans are bad, this is the best that they could come up with.
I'm not even going to try to add to that. That was an awesome soliloquy. All right. Jeff Poor, executive editor at 1819 News, talk show guy at FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state. Thank you for your time, my brother.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, bro. Take care. Oh, my gosh. That was excellent. All right. Hey, Boomer, move us to the break, man. We'll go ahead and do that right now. We'll come right back and wrap this segment up. March to the midterms. That's where we're at. Number two on the Triple Dipper. And then at 4 o'clock, top of the hour, right after the news, one of my favorite segments, Boomer and the Birdman. We'll find out what the Boomer and the Birdman have to say. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down across the entire northern half of the state of Alabama. Man, we are covering down on some ground. Well, listen, before I go too much further, I got to say this. I know I got a ton of vets in this audience, a ton of you. You call in all the time. I get your emails, social media. I see it. And I love that. And I know those of you who regularly listen to our shows have heard me talk lately about the water contamination issue at Camp Lejeune Marine Base. So, yeah, my good friends at Riley and Jackson Law Firm, and I'm serious, they are my friends. I just was talking to them just the other day. I love doing these ads when it's people that I know personally. I mean, I've worked with these guys. Right now, Riley and Jackson Law Firm has five lawyers working on these Camp Lejeune cases. And they told me they're getting calls from Right Side Radio listeners, and they're happy to take the calls and answer questions, and I'm glad to hear it. But if you are a loved one, even if the loved one is deceased, even if they've already passed away, if you or a loved one were at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina from 1953 through 87, any time at all, in that window of time, 53 through 87, then just know this. Those dates are the dates that have been confirmed where the water was contaminated, and there are like upwards of 19 different illnesses that spring from that contamination that have been directly attributed to it. It doesn't matter if you were just there for training. Doesn't matter if you were there for TDY. Doesn't matter if you just, you know, came and went, or if you were stationed there as a permanent duty station for a period of years. If you were there any time in that window, call and check it out. Just call the guys and ladies at Riley and Jackson. They're in Birmingham, but they're covering the entire state right now. Their number is 205-879-5000. And just see if you have a claim. Just find out. It won't cost you anything to talk to them. They can tell you if you have a claim that can be brought for you or perhaps on behalf of someone you love that you've already lost. So give them a call. Here's the number again. You ready? Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. And do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. They are friends of mine. I get the biggest kick when they say, Phil, another one called. Now I have to do this because that was an ad. You ready for this? How fast can I read it? No representation is made that the quality of legal services be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. Bam! There you go. All right, folks, Riley and Jackson, give them a call. Okay, finishing this segment up. March to the midterms. You know what's interesting is, yes, I do agree with Jeff Poor. There does appear to be somewhat of a bump for Democrats. I said that before he came on the air, too. I do agree that the polls indicate that Biden may have about a 5% bump. His abysmal ratings are just now less abysmal. But they're still abysmal. So much so that even NBC News has had to report lately that Democrat candidates are hesitant to campaign with Biden despite his recent win streak. Storyline dated August 29th, 1 week ago. You know what's interesting, though? I will say this as an aside. This is so classic, NBC News. So they did the story. They couldn't avoid it. But they will not name their sources. If these were Republican candidates refusing to campaign with Trump, they would be naming names. They'd be outing people. They would say that it was all, you know, oh, here we go. There would be no non-attribution here. They would be laying it out. All right. President Joe Biden's recent political revitalization has not stopped some Democrats in competitive midterm races from treating him like an in-law, always welcome but seldom wanted. I loved my in-laws. I don't get it. Anyway. Democratic candidates are tiptoeing around his official visits, making case-by-case decisions about whether to appear with him. They're also even speaking out against him on certain issues. That's interesting. One campaign, see, they won't name it. One campaign outright said it was not interested in a Biden visit, while a veteran House Democrat told voters she's fighting back against the president. These are Democrats. Who is this right here? This is, again, unnamed. An aide to a high-profile Democrat in a tough race. That's how they named the source. I don't think there's any Democrat in any competitive district who is clamoring for Biden to come, said an aide to a high-profile Democrat in a tough race. The White House wants to show that they're back or whatever, but there's just a disconnect. Oh, wow. But a Biden advisor has pushed back against the notion that Democrats are distancing themselves, pointing to example of the president appearing with some at events in key battleground states like Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire. Well, the point is made here, though, that the best way for Biden to help Democrats as they try to hold their House majority and control the Senate is just to raise money for the party and stay out of the way on the campaign trail, said several unnamed Democrat insiders, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to avoid angering the White House. Well, listen, you're going to see it. We are in the march to the midterms. Is the climate bill giving him a bump? Did abortion give Democrats a bump? Is it really about security, like physical security, like crime security, like economic security? All said and done, we got to vote. Living in a red state even, we got to vote. And like I said earlier in the show, we need to start working towards the 2-year mark and the 4-year mark because we need to make a difference in these next round of elections. All right, folks, coming up next, Boomer and the Birdman, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.